This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blocked by Ekholm. That'll lead to a breakaway for Connor McDavid. He's in and he scores! Connor McDavid drags it back to his forehand. And Edmonton has regained a two-goal lead in Game 5.
Did that shut it down for good, in your opinion?
When it got the 5-3, when it got the 5-3, that was shut down.
Okay.
When McDavid scored on the breakaway.
So that was Kane, you're saying, ended off of Lindell's skate.
Yeah. When McDavid scored on the breakaway, it was still early enough in the game. All you needed was one, because you knew once it got to one, you would probably wind up getting a solid 2.5 to 3 minutes of an empty net. Where if you can keep the puck in, and the Stars did a good job. There was a couple times last night where the Stars had like complete control of the puck in the Edmonton zone for dang near a minute. The delayed penalty. I mean, Edmonton couldn't get it out. So we saw a couple of situations like that. I was like, all right, you know, if they get it to one, you know, you'll have a good 3 minutes. So the 5-3, that's what I thought was over.
Now, when McDavid scored and made it 4-2, I was like, this is because even when Robo scored in the third period, I still was like, I don't feel like this is going to be enough. It still feels like they're going to get overwhelmed here. And so I thought, all right, if you can just keep them at three and potentially get up and tie that again, then I felt good about it. But as soon as they got to four, I was like, this is probably done.
I'm glad I don't have to hear that announcer again, because he's got that wannabe Mike Lang, Pittsburgh Penguin voice.
Oilers radio with the call. Was Jake Oettinger done dirty? Was Pete DeBoer unnecessarily cold afterwards? Is DeBoer on the hot seat? And what else does this team have to add to get over the hump? We're going to take some Stars phone calls from the Tolos at 877-881-1053 here on Sean and RJ. TJ and Ennis, you're up first. Go ahead, TJ.
Morning, boys.
Morning.
All right, here's what we need to add. Three dairy and hatchers and a bread hole. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
The speed and enforcement. Speed. We need big, fast hockey players. Not a shocker. We can't finesse our way again three years in a row. The finesse way ain't working.
Do you have an audience?
You got a hallelujah chorus?
Yeah. What are you eating for breakfast?
We're rocking a steak and cheese bagel from McDonald's, and I just got to the pawn shop.
Okay.
Oh my God, I love it.
You can't slip nothing past us like the Smith. We can hear the breakfast, the chewing, and the audience in the background.
Amen. I love the audience in the background.
And you love his breakfast as well, Bob.
Dude, those are good. They're not Whataburger sandwiches, but if you're in a pinch, they're good.
Eric in Dallas, you're up next. Eric, you are live on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
The Dallas Stars are eliminated. They played like dogs. Jake Oettinger was crying. I said, don't cry, Otter. This is what you get when you have immigrants playing for our team.
Oh, God.
This is what the foreigners are coming at for us.
What?
I told these guys, it's time to change it up. You're playing like Dookie Dak.
Oh. Was that the phone cutting out? Was that you, Pepe?
No, he hung up. Oh. He was out.
At first, I thought it was Spittle.
Yeah.
Then I thought it was me. Yeah. And then I realized who he was imitating.
As soon as a couple references there, I knew who it was.
No, but in all seriousness, the Finns are getting called out this morning.
Yeah, they are. I mean, look, they are incredibly skilled. Do they lack...
This is a Dallas Cowboy-esque feel.
Yeah, so look, the Stars are one of the most skilled hockey teams out there. What you go back and ask Florida. I'm going to go see when Florida acquired Tkachuk. But like you go back and look. So the Flames got him in 2016, and he went to Florida in 2020. Okay, perfect. So I bet you can go look at the kind of the line of when Florida went from, because they won the President's Trophy like the year before, and they wind up getting him, and what happens? They go to three straight cup finals. Why? Because they're gritty. You know, like, you can have all the skill you want. You've got to have toughness somewhere.
Yeah.
And
Sean McDonough kind of talked about this, that the greasy, gritty play and scores, that's the book on them right now.
Like, Liam Bischel is, he's a monster, right? He led the team in hits, 6'7", big, solid dude. You need guys like that. You need guys who are kind of nasty. You know, the difference is like, you know, Tkachuk is also really skilled, too. But he's also got that kind of toughness to him. Play, you know, it's like his old man. So you need somebody like that. And listen, Jim Nill has done a...
Because Kevin Hagman brought that up a couple days ago. Everyone was excited about the Mikko trade, but that wasn't number one on the needs list.
Right. No, needed defense, right? Jim Nill has done a great job. The Stars have one of the best rosters, arguably the most skilled team. And then the Texas Stars are in the AHL Cup. Yeah. So even their minor league team is amazing. So,
anytime there's a stat brought up on the Stars, it kind of catches me off guard. And I'm like, oh my God, they are freaking deep and loaded. Yeah,
they are.
When they're talking about, you know, Hintz is the best player on the team, I was like, oh, okay, I thought it was Mikko.
He might be the most important.
When they're talking about Duchesne led the team in points. What? Oh my God. It was Duchesne. Then you talk about Sagan and Ben as basically afterthoughts. It puts into perspective how good they are.
Yeah, they're very, very good. They're very skilled. Do they lack a little toughness? Little nasty? I mean, yeah, they kind of do. Like, they're not Florida. Let's put it that way. They're not Florida.
Ryan in Louisville, you're up next. Ryan, you're live on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for putting me on, guys. Yeah, man, that was a tough one to watch last night. Big-time Stars fan. And, dude, I trust Pete DeBoer, though, man. We've been to a couple back-to-back, three conference finals in a row. You got to trust his judgment there in the game, pulling Ottinger. You don't know what Ottinger might have said there on the bench. Body language is probably pretty shitty after the...
My bad.
Yep, my bad. Yep, it's probably pretty bad. I don't know. But I trust Pete DeBoer. I love the Dallas Stars. I'm looking forward to next season, man. And I think they're the best thing going in Dallas right now. That's where we're at.
Oh, that's an easy one. That's
an easy answer.
All right, the Tolos are chiming in on Otter being pulled. Last night it was about 60-40 in favor of it, that they just needed a spark. And then is Pete DeBoer actually in a little bit of trouble? Fernando, Otter was our backbone the entire playoffs. For that coward to call him out, needs to lose his job. No way we're blaming our 26-year-old goalie who made game-saving saves all playoffs. The bum, he's being called. Get him off my screen next year. Jim, I agree the team is not physical enough. While I love the Finns, they don't play a physical brand of hockey. Too many players looking for space and pretty goals. That doesn't work. The deeper you get in the postseason, your goalie also needs to come up with timely saves. Matrim, typical Dallas drama. We're about to watch them blow this up and drop, aren't we? Why aren't we talking about the goalie against the best duo since Lemieux and Jágr? What did Mikko do? How many goals did he score? And then Kevin Persons, the Cowboys made three straight conference titles and lost all three. If that was the case, how different would the reaction be from what Stars fans are dealing with? Clearly, there would be a difference, but how big? How much more outrage? Just curious. So these are some of the Tolos weighing in on Twitter.
I was a little curious how DeBoer is being received today outside of Dallas. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people who are frustrated with Ottinger and different things like that. So Choppy's asked this question before, like, he's had all this success. Why does he keep getting fired everywhere? And so I went and jumped over to, like, the Vegas Golden Knights Reddit page. I was like, what's the discussion there? The very top thing is a meme about DeBoer putting a dagger through Ottinger's back. And the comments under it say, couldn't have happened to a better person. Nothing better than watching Pete DeBoer lose. If I had a nickel for every time Pete DeBoer threw a goaltender wearing 29 under the bus, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. And then death, taxes, and Pete DeBoer being a D to his team.
Wow.
Yeah, my one of my best friends is a Vegas Knights fan, and he was saying, like, when we got DeBoer, he was like, you know, you're going to like him for a while, then you're going to get sick of him.
Of what? Sick of
what?
Well,
according to him, I think when they were there, like, their power play kept going downhill. Stars, I mean, like they, especially at home, they were pretty good on it.
It just it makes me wonder because the note he's lost six straight conference finals that he's been in, and it makes me wonder.
Which I mean, to get to six straight is pretty good.
Like, right. Is that a positive or a negative?
No, right. But like we talked about this during the break a little bit earlier. Like, I wonder, is DeBoer kind of like Buck Showalter? Which Buck Showalter's reputation was like he'd get in there and he'd help like revive a team and they'd start ascending. And then they seemed to like kind of flatten out and people would be like, all right, we're sick of Buck's shtick. He's got to go. And I wonder if like that's
Buck would wear on the players, but like, is DeBoer wearing on the players?
He's wearing on the goalie here, it seems like, and he was wearing on the goalies in Vegas. That, so, I mean, I had no idea he had issues with three separate goalies in Vegas.
I don't think Otter was done dirty. It wasn't dirty to pull him. Like, was it the right move? We could argue it was the right move or not. I mean, I think it was okay. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. Like, how long do you want him to wait around and see if he's having an off night or not? Like, how long do you want him to wait? So it's 3-4-0, and then the game is over, and you have no chance. It was cold to say what he said. That was cold.
Let's hear that on why he made the move after.
Well, anytime you pull a goalie, you know, the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead. And obviously we were in a 2-0 hole right away. And you know what? I didn't take that lightly and I didn't blame it all on Jake. But, you know, the reality is if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 of 7 games to Edmonton, and we gave up 2 shots on 2 goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up, and partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
I wonder if this was game 3. Same thing happens in game. Let's say the same thing happens in game 3. I mean, he's not pulling Jake at that point.
Well, who starts game 4?
Jake. Yeah, Jake would have gone back and started game 4.
I really think Pete DeBoer messed up. And again, maybe you want to give him credit for being honest. He messed up talking about the record against Edmonton. He should have just stopped after team spark. It wasn't necessarily. I don't blame him for both those goals, right? Because one, the Perry tap in.
It was a power play. What are you going to do?
Then the other one, you know, I blame the defense when a 94-foot freaking pass is allowed. So I think he should have just stopped right there. Stop short.
He stopped short.
Right there. And then, you know, is it fair to talk about the record against the Oilers when you scored 11 goals in 5 games? Last year, I went and tallied it. It was 14 goals in 6 games. Is that enough offense to still blame your goaltender and point at his win-loss record? Because that, to me, is simplifying it too much. That's like Bruce Bochy being like, well, Valdy, he doesn't have 7 wins when your offense blows.
Yeah.
Like, you have to include the follow-up.
Man,
in the first 3 games of this series, he gave up 12 goals. Otter.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, right? I mean, like, you know, your offense.
On a scale 1 to 10, give me what Otter was playing in the series.
6.
Okay.
You know, 5. I mean, he was just kind of there. He had moments like third period, game 1. He was playing at a 12 out of 10. Played amazing.
Yeah. Let me ask you this follow up, a hockey question. What have you done for me lately? How much does that matter in hockey? Should it matter, unless you're Patrick Waugh, what he did against the Jets?
Goalies go to slumps. They do.
Right?
They go to slumps. You know,
against. I feel like hockey has like the shortest memory.
Against Winnipeg, he allowed 2-3-2-1-3-1. All right? So never more than 3. Against Edmonton, 3-3-6-2-2.
Dallas, by the way, they were tied for the 2nd fewest goals per game in the playoffs this year. So, I mean, they weren't scoring at a high enough rate, and they finished the postseason. Now, even though they got to the Western Conference Finals, they finished the postseason minus 15 on their goal differential.
Wow. All right. We now have some drama. Who would have thought 2 weeks ago we're talking about all this drama? Could Pete DeBoer be in trouble? Maybe it's a stupid question. Let us know. 877-881-1053. There are some Stars fans who don't think it is. You think we got a lot of transplants in DFW, right?
think we do.
Think a lot of them could be New Yorkers?
Yeah.
I didn't know until yesterday that New Yorkers were this soft, and RJ says it may be time for the Rangers to fake some injuries. That's next on Sean and RJ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There will be a game six in Indiana and a statement victory tonight on their home court. They beat the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals at Madison Square Garden for the first time of the series with a 17-point victory. Final score, 111-94.
Knicks Radio with the call, and the Eastern Conference Finals remain alive as the Pacers get destroyed, 111-94. The starting lineup output for the Indiana Pacers is humiliating. Pascal Siakam scored 15. The rest of the starters, 3, 5, 6, and 8 for Tyrese Halliburton. 8, 6, 2, and 2 as Jalen Brunson ends up scoring 32, and we'll have a game 6 tomorrow night. But
by the way, did we have outputs like this when we were, I don't remember in the 90s seeing like the best player on your team having a game like we've seen this year, like 8 points.
There was like a lot of 79, 72 games.
Yeah, there were, but like the best player would score. They always got theirs.
Yeah, what was that? I remember there was a game in the finals where like the Bulls trashed the Jazz, but it was like 88 to 57, yeah. And Michael scored like 46 or something. But no, I mean, Michael had a couple duds along the way. Like he'd have a 12-point finals game every now and then.
I have to go back.
And I also don't think Halliburton is like an outright scorer, kind of a Mr. Do-Everything.
Boy, he was getting killed last night on Twitter because when he was walking off the court, people were like, what are you smiling about? He's like, he just got his ass handed to him. He played poorly. Why is he out here smiling and laughing walking off the court?
I guess I should be careful, though, in calling New Yorker soft because, wait, the stabbing was between who? Who stabbed who?
Well, that was the Pacers fan. The Pacers fan went back at the Knicks.
Pacer fan stabbed the Knicks fan?
Yes.
All right, well, never mind. They stand by my statement.
So the Knicks fan, remember the Knicks fans like attacked the Pacer fan? Attacked, whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Throwing garbage at him. Yeah.
Well, after game, during a game 2 watch party in Indiana, a guy by the name of Jarrett Funk?
Who cares?
Sure.
24 years old, faces 4 charges after stabbing a Knicks fan and injuring another during a confrontation at this watch party.
Okay.
So they were like, hold my beer, Knicks fans. You think you can just throw garbage on our guy? Yeah. We're going to stab yours.
I didn't get big stabbing energy when we were in Indianapolis.
No.
Wasn't the energy of the city. So those Knicks fans must have been pretty in his face, is what I'm thinking.
The Red Garter may have been stabbed there.
Well, the New York celebs have not appreciated the Pat McAfee energy. As Mr. Indianapolis, you may recall, in the last Pacer home game, came out on the court in the fourth quarter and grabbed the mic.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
I love when everyone says or I hear Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Chalamet. It sounds like Adam Sandler.
It does.
Well, this has sparked whining and crying from the New York celebs.
Ben Stiller on Twitter was responding to a post about this video, and he goes, yes, weird. We were happy to be there and cheer on our team. Other than that, Indy fans were awesome. And then he continued, it's okay. He must be playing around. If it's an actual point of view, it seems a little anachronistic or cliche. like we were big city celebs and we shouldn't be there in the heartland again. Everyone we met was awesome.
What does that word
and
mean,
incredibly
Bobby?
Cool.
Repeat the word again.
Anachronistic.
Oh, it's like when they would make you do acronyms, like where you fill out things to spell. I have no idea what it means. No. Okay.
See, that's the point. We don't know what this means. So like there's that aspect of it. And then John Cougar Mellencamp.
Belonging to a period other than that being portrayed is the definition.
He could have just said that.
So Stiller called McAfee weird.
Weird.
He's like, same old joke, get new material. I can kind of see that.
Right, I guess I can kind of see it. John Cougar Mellencamp. Little Pink Houses. He said he's a big Pacer fan. He's from Indy. The Knicks-Pacer games have been very entertaining for anyone who likes basketball. I attended game 4. Quote, Hoosier hospitality. I was embarrassed when somebody, under whose direction I don't know, called out some of the people who had made the trip from New York to support their teams and in turn support our team. The audience booed these people. I'd say that was not Hoosier hospitality. One could only say it's poor sportsmanship. I was not proud to be a Hoosier, and I've lived here my entire life. On behalf of most Hoosiers, I'd like to apologize for our poor behavior. I sure hope the Pacers had nothing to do with this smackdown, John Mellencamp. Pat McAfee heard about
this. Did he intentionally include a smackdown in that?
He did say smackdown in that, yes.
Shannon, RJ, and Chop.
And what does McAfee not hear about?
He hears about everything. Somebody is a Twitter tail. Yeah. He hears about everything.
Or he's Googling his name like he did on me.
Yeah, but this was like a photo. This is a photo of John with this like plastered. He didn't tag anything. He didn't even say anybody's name. He said, somebody did this. Pat tweets, I am somebody.
And then Boomer Esiason has a problem with all the celebs.
Boomer, this is such a bad thing. So after the Knicks finally won a game the other night, Boomer was given his quite not safe for work
is
commentary.
This a Sports Minute?
No. This was on his show with, who does he co-host with out there? Gio. So he was giving his commentary on why the Knicks played so much better away from MSG, and he had a weird explanation for it.
The two most important guys or the two guys that have led this resurgence of the Knicks in Brunson and Hart come through huge at the end of the game. So, hey, they live to play another day. I mean, they play better on the road than they do at home. I think they're just sick and tired of all the celebrities at home. They hate playing in front of these people, and they just rather get away from all of that and go play defense and figure out a way to win on the road, which is really, there's something to be said about that. When you go on the road, it's you and your teammates. That's it.
This is the...
His
face.
Is that serious?
Gio was laughing like, Boomer was serious. Like, and he said it there. He's like, look, it's just you on the... It's the idea of... It was Dalton Schultz's thing. Like, you don't have people looking at you in the weight room. It's like the, like, we can just focus. Yeah. We can play. So, Boomer thinks it's a distraction.
I love Boomer as a guest on the show whenever we can get him. But he has given a couple of Boomer takes recently.
Yes.
He might be crossing over.
Might be crossing over into that threshold of Boomerness.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like...
sick of playing in front of all these celebs.
Do you think... don't the Lakers have, like, a lot of titles?
They do. Yep.
Don't the Yankees have a lot of titles? They play in front of celebrities all the time.
Right.
Like, this is not something new. The Knicks have been playing in front of celebrities forever. Mm. Plus, now, they don't win.
To be fair, they don't win.
Don't you play in front of celebrities just when you kind of, like, reach this point of the finals? Like, last year, Dallas had, like, stars coming through, like, for Western Conference Finals games and NBA Finals games. People show up to these.
Rangers, Cardinals, tonight. As the Rangers hopefully enjoying a day off and getting their offensive minds correct, don't get in trouble like G-Bag here. I don't think you can because RJ is saying the Rangers should fake some injuries.
Yes, not actually get injured, but fake a couple of injuries. Coming into today's game, Adolis Garcia has 17 hits in the month of May. We're 30 days in. He's hitting 189 for the month. He's got 3 homers, 12 RBIs. In 90 at-bats, 17 hits. He has struck out 30 times in 90 at-bats. That's one in every three.
Baseball go.
You math guys out there. Not the worst I've seen. Remember, we had Joey Gallo and Rugi once roll through here, so I've seen 30 strikeouts in 90 at-bats before. His OPS for the month, OPS is on-base plus slugging.
Thank you.
His OPS for the month is less than Aaron Judge's slugging percentage for the year, okay? He is barely just above Judge's on-base percentage on its own. Marcus Semien, meanwhile, like, he's doing worse than Leody Taveras was, and we cut him. Right? We cut him. He is 183 in the month of May. His OPS is 460. I thought it would be worse, but his OPS would be second in Major League Baseball if it was on base percentage. Just on base. Barely ahead of Will Smith at 457. He's got zero power. I don't care what his barrel percentage says. He is one of the weakest hitters in the sport right now. And they'll get in and it happens, and it doesn't diminish his career or his impact on this franchise, which we will never forget the impact he had on this franchise. Okay, never forget, nor Dulles. I mean, those two guys were World Series heroes. You know, home run for Simeon in the clincher, home run in game one for Dulles that won the game. But might be time to fake the old injury. Mm-hmm. Might be time to say, you know what? He's got a bit of a calf. This one, he's got a back. Mm. Give him a couple days off. Do a rehab start or two down in Frisco or up in Frisco, as it would be, and let's go.
Yeah, look, you can put Adolis Garcia on the shelf if you like. And you know, you talk about those 17 hits and 90 at-bats. That's brutal. Just know that in the month of May, you're putting on the shelf the guy with the fourth most hits on the team with 17. So,
yeah, fourth most.
Yeah, the fourth most hits on the team. In fact, the top batting average on the team in the month of May is Josh Young and his .258 average right now. That's what you're staring at. In fact, I'm curious, what's the leading OPS?
At least Adolis is given, like, stellar defense.
The leading OPS on the team this month is Jake Berger at .766. That's what you've got right now.
Yeah, it's bad.
There's absolutely nothing there. Well, look, if you are going to put somebody on the shelf, if they're not going to be able to play baseball, maybe they then will qualify to be able to get into a little OnlyFans action, because you can't have OnlyFans and play a sport according to the Olympic Committee. So this poor guy, this poor gentleman, this poor canoer in the UK is being forced. His name is Kurt Adams Rosenthal's, and he's being forced to pick between the Olympics and his OnlyFans that he creates content for. The Olympic governing body has determined that he's not going to be able to participate in the Olympics in the future if he doesn't end his OnlyFans account.
Why? Which,
because he says he's been, as he puts it.
What country is this?
This is the UK. But as he puts it, he's, quote, been posting videos on Instagram that are consciously made to be edgy in order to drive conversions to my spicy content page. He said he's being forced to pick, though, between, does he want to go into the Olympics or does he want to keep this? Because they say you got to clean up your image a little bit. And the only thing I can wonder is, like, he's a canoeist. Like,
are they called canoeists?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to call him.
Not a canoer?
Like a rower?
Sure. They call him canoe. They're saying canoe in the thing, so I don't know.
Okay.
But this is the thing. Like, let him take advantage of whatever small celebrity status the man has to make a little bit of a living. I dead serious had no idea this would be an issue for the Olympics. Especially given if you look at the history of what some of those, you know, back in the original Olympics, the Greek athletes were probably doing back in 700 BC or whatever. They were doing some things that I don't think the Olympic Committee would approve of.
So what you're saying
is, I don't have any problems. Why does it matter what he's doing if he can participate? Well, I don't think anybody's going to care enough to pay attention to this.
They want him in the they want him in the water with his oar, not in his bedroom with his oar and his coxswain.
That's why you were. That's what we're talking about. Rowing, right? Rowing is like
a joke.
How do I come back to formulate? This? All right. I respect it.
You got it.
I respect it.
Friday edition of Sean and RJ. One final Lil Baby ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. However, you are on the home of the Rangers and Cowboys. It sounds like Dak's cadence is going bye-bye. No more. Here we go. And the offensive lineman that Brian Schottenheimer is glowing about. Bobby from Cowboys practice with the report. Below.
Email.
Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Brent Schottenheimer let a little something slip about the offensive line yesterday. Or was it just just a casual statement and he's playing chess, not checkers? We're going to talk about that as well as a couple other things out from Cowboys training camp yesterday here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. All right, Brian Schottenheimer was great yesterday. He's really good at the podium. The big thing that still needs to be done with him or still needs to be evaluated with him is obviously going to be on the football field, but I'll make this comparison. I'm curious what you guys think about it before we hit these clips. Schottenheimer reminds me of the guy who's like been running for president his whole life. Like basically like almost every career move has been, I'm prepping for this and I'm getting myself in a position to where it's like, I feel like at the very worst, and I was saying this to somebody recently, at the very worst, I think the floor for Schottenheimer is Garrett. Like, I think that's the type of coach he probably is at the floor. He might be better. That might be all he is. But to me, it's like, I think at the bare minimum, you're going to get the results you got when you were Garrett. You're not going to just be awful. He's not going to be inept. There were a lot of people who seemed to think he was going to be inept doing this. That was never going to be the case. He'll come in here prepared.
Well, what did Greg Rosenthal tweet yesterday? Your buddy from NFL.com?
Oh, yeah. What did he tweet about that?
I'll just recap it. You don't have to go look it up. He said, basically, I'm getting the feeling that Brian will be like his dad. Didn't he say?
Yeah, oh yeah, that he'll be a better head coach than he was a coordinator. And that was Marty.
His dad was...
Sorry, not better than his dad. Better as a head coach than an assistant. Because better than his dad is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like his dad was a really awesome head coach.
Yeah, not better than.
If the Cowboys landed Marty Schottenheimer in this, like... Okay.
Look, there's three categories I'm breaking it down into. There's personality management, There's X's and O's, and there's the talent on the roster. Brian Schottenheimer, in my opinion, the personality thing is already done and checked off. He has aced and will ace the test. X's and O's will be a question. And talent on the roster on whether they're actually good enough will be a question.
I don't much care about the X's and O's because he's hired assistants to do that. I'm a walk around coach,
but like, he's not. Guy.
No, I know, but that's what that like.
He's calling the plays.
Yeah, I like the walk around coach anyway. Like that's just what I prefer that. Now you want to get your hands in on everything, you know, you help the plays and everything, but yeah, he's gonna call them. You know, it's going to design them. That I could probably do without, you know, but
look, there's
to me, with the head coach, it's about clock management. It's about maintaining the peace, the cohesion within the unit,
which that came up yesterday. We didn't pull that one, but the clock management stuff came up yesterday. He said they're already having meetings on game day execution. They're meeting with Ryan Feeder, their game management coach. So they're on top of that too right now.
Brian Schottenheimer chemistry. That's a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big national knock on him as R2P2.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really bad offensive numbers from his past when he was the coordinator. We can dive deeper, and we have, into the talent. I was going through his Wikipedia page the other day, and I was like, oh, 28th Rams. Oh, 27th in offense. You know, he was with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has been a disappointment. These things can be brought up. Question there, even though Brian will say he was the more aggressive one in Seattle and that Pete wanted to be old school. He told us that at the Combine in Indianapolis. And then the talent on the roster. But discussions for another day.
Yep. So let's go into the topic that got a lot of attention yesterday. And I think this got lost in communication a little bit, represented, was the discussion about the cadence.
Here we go!
That's it. That's the here we go cadence right there. So Clarence Hill had asked Shoddy about, hey.
Did he ask it first? Was it the first question?
No, it was not. It was the second. Actually, it's technically the third question by the second person.
Man, I did not realize that this was actually a thing of how worked up media members got over asking the first question. The battle and the fight to replace David Moore, who retired.
Yeah.
I did not realize this was an actual thing. And apparently it is with other teams throughout the country of who gets to ask the first question.
Look at the YouTube comments. People say, first, they love the first comment. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel special.
This is Helen Thomas. She is the old lady that was at the every White House press briefing from like
Mr. President
1974 or 1970 until, you know, whatever. Maybe it was during the Obama administration. I can't remember. but she was she had the first question from like Reagan on.
Yeah.
And she would always ask it. And it was, you'll recognize, if I show you a picture of her, you'll know exactly who she is.
Yeah. And then she got in trouble. She got kicked out. She wasn't allowed to do it anymore.
I can't remember why, I can't remember why she retired.
Yeah, she got kicked out. All right. So the question was asked, though, about the cadence. Is anything going to change there? And Brian Schottenheimer was a little cagey with the details.
I'm not going to tell you about the cadence. The biggest thing with the cadence that I will tell you is getting a guy like Joe, and now you got new linemen, you got Booker, you got, you know, Rob Jones, you got guys like that, is getting all the quarterbacks to kind of sound the same. And that sounds like, oh, that's pretty obvious, that's pretty simple, but it's the guys that are the backups that have to learn to make their cadence sound like Dax. So that's kind of one of the things that you do work on in terms of the cadence and what we say and things like that. Maybe you guys will hear it today. Maybe you won't. I don't know.
I think this is, and he said, maybe you'll hear it today. Maybe you won't. I'm not 100% certain if I can say what I heard while we were out there, given the time when it occurred, because there are some portions you're allowed to talk about what you see, some portions you're not. I'll just kind of say.
Wait, what? There's some portion at practice,
NFL league rules, given whatever time that whatever work they're doing in certain parts of practice, that's considered like, hey, you can't discuss this part. You're hanging out here, but get to the next section. So they're
can't
limited
discuss
portions.
It live.
You can't share details of it. So like, for instance, we're not allowed to take wide pictures at practice. They got to be tight. There are certain just restrictions because they feel like you're going to give away too much. Like the league has that as a rule.
But that's posting a photo, but you're talking about even discussing
it. So yeah, like you can't report specific formations they're running. You can't do stuff like that. So I'll just say this. As I was listening onto the field, nothing stood out or caught my ear that I thought sounded like, what was that? That sounds a little different. So I'll just say that.
Because the headline is, here we go, is no more.
And I think it was John who tweeted it. And John Machado's my guy, but I think John had like misworded, or maybe he just heard something that I didn't. But when I went back and pulled it again, listened to it, you just heard that he just said, "I'm not going to get into it." So he wasn't really committed to whether you'll hear it or not.
Let's talk about the cadence and how basic it is. What does it actually do? John Gruden's problem with just clapping.
Yeah, Romo had a... There was a great clip of Romo last year where he was asked...
What's a bigger shock? Taking shots at John Machado or giving praise to Tony Romo?
He was asked about, hey, why, you know, the here we go cadence and compared to yours, like, why is that important? And Romo gave a really good answer. And it kind of showed up there in Shoddy's response, which is they want the quarterback and the backups to all have the same sound to them. Because it's basically the, you know, it's the starting gun for the offense.
Yeah.
And it gives you a, when you know the cadence and Omaha. The anticipation. So he said what happens is when a new quarterback comes in or when a new offensive lineman comes in, a new tackle comes in, he says that's why we always say watch for a false start in the first couple plays because they're not used to the cadence or there's something that's a little different. And it's so precise. And that's why the, you know, dragged out, here we go. And like the particular nature in which he does it is really important for them to be on the ball for their time. And so just in general, the type of like inflection you use, the tone of your voice, different things, it's all coded to like tell guys when to go. And
so it's not just as simple as, all right, when he's done, go rush.
Right. Yeah. That's why a lot of people. And so when Gruden had talked about it with Jackson Dart, it was like, give me your snap and or give me your cadence. And Jackson Dart goes, and he goes, give me your hard count. And he goes, which is like, okay, dude. But like, that's the, and Gruden loves the cadence.
Yes.
There's another video of him talking recently with Philip, or actually, I think it was like last year, but he was talking with Philip Rivers. And he was talking to Philip Rivers' son. He's like, let me hear your cadence. I want to hear if it sounds like the old man.
He gets such a high off it.
He loves it. It's so funny. But it's genuinely, that's why Rodgers really liked Dax when he started hearing it in 23. We got that clip of Rodgers. It's because Rodgers thought all the just particular nature of the way that he was delivering it gave them
so
an
you
advantage.
Think it's actually detailed and not just simplified?
Oh no, it's like it is detailed. Like there's it is a precise command of like, here, this is where we go. So far it'll be something to watch for us in training camp. The last few years he's obviously had the very noticeable here we go. The offensive line nugget he dropped yesterday potentially, and maybe this was just a little flippant and he was just kind of talking casually, but he was asked a question about Tyler Booker. How's Tyler Booker meshing with everybody? And he gave a good answer about it. Then he also dropped in there two or three other nuggets about the offensive line that kind of made everybody just look over like, wait, what did he just say?
He's doing great. again, we're creating competition. He's not taking all the ones. We're rolling different guys in there. Rob Jones, we're moving Brock around a lot, moving BB around some. But, you know, he's picked it up really, really well. The intensity that you guys saw in the introductory press conference, and that is what we see. But the best time to watch Tyler Booker is probably an individual, because if whoever he's working with holding the bags and the pads aren't doing it the right way, they get a little bit of an earful. It's kind of fun to watch. So he understands that there's a mindset and a makeup that make great offensive linemen. I think along with some of the other leaders up front, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Tyler Guyton. He's having a terrific offseason. He's working his ass off. He looks great. But Tyler Booker fits in great with what we're trying to build.
So there's a lot there. First off, I think it's great that Booker as a rookie is basically telling guys, like, you need to hold the bag. Like he's telling veterans right here, like, nope, you're not doing it right. You need to do it. That's a guy who they want him taking command.
Well, we all know this. As much as we're all praising Brian Schottenheimer, that's how much they're praising and feeling about Tyler Booker, the person, at least so far.
Oh, yeah.
Glowing internal reviews. He's blowing them away with how he's handling himself. I'm not talking about blocking yet. I'm not talking about on the field. As a person, they feel like they have an early absolute gold star.
They got a Zach Martin.
I mean, yeah, they think that's like a culture tone setter for the next 10 years, I think, where that's like, that's the leader.
I'm just talking personality right now.
Now, he talked about moving Brock Hoffman around. He talked about moving BB around, which he had sounded like he didn't want to do that when he was in Indy. Said, I'm open to it, but look, we don't want to waste a year. Then he gave a lot of praise to Tyler Guyton. They're kind of cut out of nowhere to say, Guyton's done a really good job. And that made Newey Scruggs ask Schottenheimer, it's like, hey, can you just circle back? Give me a little more specifics on Tyler Guyton.
He's having a great offseason. I think the some of the new things that Clayton and Connor Riley have brought from a fundamental standpoint really fits him. I think you're talking about, I'll go back for Tyler a little bit, like he hasn't played offensive line a whole lot. Then he played right tackle at Oklahoma. Then we moved him to left tackle, and it's obviously a premier position. And then he missed quite a bit of time last year in training camp. He has not missed a day. He was one of the first guys back in the building. It reminds me a ton of Jalen Tolbert, if I'm being honest with you. Jalen Tolbert, year one, you guys were all here, right? You know, up and down, hey, here's a high draft pick, you know, and, you know, didn't have a great first year. JT was one of the first guys back in the building. Well, Tyler Guyton was one of the first guys back in the building. He understands how important that this year is for him, not just for him, but for our football team. And so he looks great, and he's playing at a high level right now, going against some good speed rushers.
And it's something where I think that's important. When he talked about the coaches, I don't think the coaching staff didn't necessarily mesh with Tyler Guyton or Terrence Steele last year, and that's been a difference early.
No one doing it better, putting in more work, heading out to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco after their show, more so than Bobby Belt in B-Lo,
D-Belt,
on the home of the Cowboys, every day with a segment at 8:40. A final goodbye to the Dallas Star season and a little baby ticket giveaway, plus who had the worst take of the week in the world of sports, all next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.